Welcome to Mazum Gumzo, African Scholarly Conversations, a podcast that highlights the perspectives of various stakeholders in academia and research fields across Africa through open dialogue on Mazum Gumzo on scholarly communication in Africa.
Welcome to Mazum Gumzo, African Scholarly Conversations, where we are joined by an expansive list of African policymakers, science communication specialists, innovators, and tertiary institution leads who contribute to this realm of scholarly and science communication. I'm your host, Joy Owango, the Executive Director of Training Center in Communication, a capacity building trust based at the University of Nairobi, Faculty of Science and Technology in Nairobi, Kenya. Today, we have the pleasure of having as our guest, Professor Gatiti. Professor Gatiti is the current chairperson of the Kenya Library Association, position he's held since 2022. He's also the associate provost and university librarian at the Aga Khan University. He oversees Aga Khan University's global network of 12 libraries dispersed in 6 countries on 3 continents, situated on the diverse campuses in Pakistan, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and the United Kingdom. Professor Peter Gatiti's research interests focus on library and information science, systematic reviews, evidence-based practice, bibliometric analysis, and knowledge management. A warm welcome to the program, Professor Gatiti. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Joy. I'm pleased to join this conversation.
Oh, all right. So to begin with, could you share a bit more about yourself and your career journey to where you are now? Was there a switch from what you wanted to be when you grew up before you ended up getting involved in knowledge management and now more in-depth in bibliometric analysis and systematic reviews?
Thank you, Joy. So for me, it has really been a journey. When I was in high school, I served as a school librarian, usually a librarian student helping the teachers. And probably that is what triggered my interest in the work of a librarian. So after my high school, I joined the then Kenya Polytechnic, which is currently Technical University of Kenya, for a 3-year qualification in library science, and they got awarded with a diploma. After which then, after working for a couple of years, actually as a school librarian, now a proper trained school librarian, then in 2003, I moved to the United Kingdom to advance my academic qualifications. And I moved to a university known as Loughborough University. Loughborough is in the Midlands of the United Kingdom. After which now, upon qualifying as a librarian, I moved on because I also had some interest on ICT. So for my master's, instead of doing a typical information studies master's, I did master's in information systems in a university known as RINSMET, which is now RINS Birket University in town of RINS in West Yorkshire in the UK. So that has been my career. Of course, after that, I went ahead and worked for the University of Leeds, basically as a database designer. But then after one, I moved to where my heart is and has always been as a librarian in the mediocre hospitals, NHS teaching hospitals. It is a big NHS trust. So I worked as a librarian, and after 1 year, I was promoted to a specialist librarian, rank of a senior librarian. And after working there for a couple of years, then I moved back to Kenya in 2010 as the regional librarian for the Aga Khan University, overseeing libraries in Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. And it is during that time that I embarked on a PhD program at the University of Bolton in the UK, where I examined the relative effectiveness of ICTs in extracting, sharing, and disseminating knowledge in the development sector. So that has been my journey, not very smooth, not very easy, but finally that has enabled me to reach where I am currently. Thank you.
But it is quite interesting to note that it's something that you have been passionate about since high school. It's not every day that you get people who end up doing what they've always wanted to do since high school, because we tend to change quite a bit. And what have been the lessons learned in your experience, especially when you're going through your journey in the UK, when you left Kenya and then you went to study and then you ended up working there? What has been your experience? What are the noted success stories that you went through or you experienced?
There is a term you've used, passion. And
Right.
When you're passionate about something with the dedication, you end up getting to achieve what you wanted to. So I had this
That's
passion
true.
for advancing my academics. And by then, in Kenya, the academic space was not so open, such that someone with a diploma in library science did not have much options. So that passion then is the single thing that enhanced my success in terms of pursuing my academic. And perseverance is also very important, because of course when you move to a country which is new, there is culture shock because things are differently. And also as an adult runner, mature runner, it also comes with added responsibilities, because as of that time I was already a family man. So you would have the role of a father and also the role of a student. And the societal expectations back home, having come from a relatively noble family, there would be expectations. Now that you're in the UK, the expectations are that whenever there are some financial needs, you also assist them here and there. So for me, it's passion and perseverance, and also trying to emulate role models in the industry, in the profession, so that you can look upon them to be the guiding factor for the journey you're undertaking. Thank you.
Okay. It seems there is an unexplored curiosity surrounding the field of librarianship that encompasses a wide array of disciplines, including information sciences and knowledge management. So in today's era of data science and information systems, how do you see this evolving landscape shaping the education and preparation of graduates for success in research and academia? And when you're answering this question, I need you to take us through how the librarian has evolved, because before, the librarian was just seen as somebody who's going to buy books and who'd index books within the library, but now it has evolved into data management, data science, bibliometrics. So take us through that.
Great. So perhaps of importance to note is in that field, usually we talk of data. And of course, when you process data, it becomes information.
Right.
And when you process that information further, it becomes knowledge. And there is claim that upon gaining the knowledge, it increases your wisdom. So if you look at the trend of data, information, and knowledge, then it shows very much the arena under which this is emanating from and where the libraries play a role.
Right.
Now, there has been some changing trends in the curriculum to embrace data science, even if it's at basic level,
right?
Data visualization, even if it's basic level. And of course, way back 15 years ago or so, let me be specific, maybe 20 years ago, is when there was a lot of excitement regarding knowledge management. And it has not come to be a fad, but by then it was something very new, an intersect between library science, communication science, and management theories. And the interest there of knowledge management, but what we see now, what has come forth as a big bang, is data science, because as they claim, the next gold in the room is actually data science. That's where get engineering and other things like actual science. It is now data science which is trending. And if you happen to visit America or Europe, there are so many opportunities of data scientists, because people are using data to make what we call data-driven decisions, big data analytics and all that. So coming back to your question, what do I perceive to be the role of librarians in this? And to be honest, librarians from the onset are good in managing data because of the skills they are trained in schools, which impacts them to organize data, and organizing it meaningfully, what we call metadata. You have mentioned something very significant regarding bibliometrics, which is more or less how we analyze the usage and pattern of usage of publications
Right.
to enable us to know how to position our institutions or how to position our scholars.
Yes.
Again, that one I would give credit to librarians because the field of bibliometrics, the first scholar in the world to come up with one of the most highly used bibliometric database called as ISI, Thomson Database, that is
Eugene Garfield. Yeah.
Web of Science, Web of Knowledge, is
Yeah, by
Eugene,
Eugene Garfield. Yeah.
who is a librarian. So it's very much a field driven by librarians and for librarians.
Oh, that is
Thank you.
good to know. And it did really revolutionize scientometrics and bibliometrics as we know it today. Yeah, that is very true. And in this whole sphere, how do you, what is your observation in the evolution of the librarian, to the digital librarian that we have today? Because initially, as I'd said earlier, it was relegated to, of course, the public libraries. Now the institutional libraries, and it was always relegated from with a physical presence. But right now, the librarian has evolved from the physical person to now the online persona. So, what are your views about this evolution of the librarian, and what impact has it made in not only knowledge management but also in academia as we know it?
Thank you. So, what has been happening globally? The trend globally has been 75 to 80% collections in favor of electronic resources.
So,
So then, print resources has been relegated to 20% to that percent. But of course, there are some challenges because sometimes, as a librarian in an academic institution, you might have come across what we call required readings. Books, resources which the professors feel for any students undertaking their course, they must read those resources. And unfortunately, if those resources are not available in electronic format, then you are obligated to go ahead and purchase print books. And
true.
it is normal. Some old professors still prefer, if they are reading their BMJ, they want to see their print version of BMJ or
Yeah.
those books to be in print format. But nonetheless, the emerging trend of the librarians moving to electronic arena, be it e-journals, e-databases, and e-books, as of course called for more training on their part so that they could be able to emerge successfully and be able to position themselves in the new trends. But what is happening is after they move from the print to electronic, it's leaving them with now more time. More time that now they use to develop user-focused services. For example,
Right.
LibGuides, that is research guides for the courses
Right.
that we are training, LibGuides for the subjects that we are training, or general research guides, and then end up spending more time with our learners in an electronic format in terms of guiding our learners how to interact with the information resources, how reference management tools like EndNote, Zotero, Medrib, to reference those electronic resources, and then show them how to remain legal through using tools like Turnitin to ensure they are not inadvertently plagiarizing other people's work. Then after that, train them how to go ahead and publish their scholarly content through showing them sources of where to publish, and even showing them deals that have been negotiated in country or by institutions for where there is no article processing fee
Right.
or negotiated article processing fee. And upon publishing, then we go ahead and train them. Now that you have published your papers, how do you integrate with the metrics so that we can measure the scholarly output of your work and how that work is getting an impact? So the field, I would say, is now very interesting than before, very
Yes, it is.
engaging, and
Yes.
one that is very promising, to be honest. Is a
Yeah.
very beautiful time being a librarian. I cannot think of any other better time than today
Yeah.
being a librarian.
And you're right, because as you're talking, the first thing that is going through my mind is that your work is now heavily integrated within the Directorate of Research within the university, or the the provost office, which is in charge of research or students' performance, because all this bibliometrics and analysis will feed into those offices. So gone are the days when the library was actually just seen as a silo, but most importantly, we are seeing the role of the librarian being crucial in shaping the performance, in monitoring the performance of the university. And that kind of information is really crucial when it comes to looking at the competitiveness of the university, especially if they want to seek potential collaborations or funding opportunities as well. So it is, you're right, it is a good time to be a librarian right now. Now, as we are just enjoying this conversation on the current state of librarianship, you are the chairperson of the Kenyan Library Association, and congratulations on the Golden Jubilee. So reflecting on its 50-year journey, could you pinpoint a milestone that captures the essence of the association's growth or significantly defines its legacy over the past 5 decades?
Great, thank you. So one of the things that I must be proud of the Kenya Library Association, which I'm currently the chairperson, is that over the last 5 decades, do remember when we were established, so many library associations in the region were also established. But we are among the few, less than 10% of the ones that were established, which are still active year in, year out, with the programs, including our celebrated Maktaba Awards, also known in English as Kenyan Library of the Year Award.
Yes.
And the Maktaba Journal. Of course, every year having not less than 3 conferences or so to give us opportunities for scholarly contribution and exchange of views.
Yes.
Now, significantly of much importance to note is since its inception, when we moved from the then East Africa Library Association, then at some point, Kenya Library Association was heavily involved when we were forming library schools in the then SPSS, University of Nairobi, Technical University of Kenya, Moi University, and even Kenya University. And our involvement tend to be invited as a stakeholder in the curriculum review to provide them our input and to monitor what are the skills that the people on the ground are seeking for the graduates so that we can give our academic partners genuine responses for them to develop curriculums which are reflecting the needs of the industry. Nevertheless, we have not been without challenges, and most of those challenges came as a result of course, the devolution that we are currently having, and also the limited finances that have over the years been allocated to libraries. And the COVID-19 also came as a game changer. We were tested as a profession, but we have been able to weather the storms. Allow me to mention in a very positive way that due to our ability to navigate the scenario and be able to work as partners with other institutions, the Commission for University Education, also known as COE, was able to embed the library standards and the guidelines for the universities and the colleges being established in Kenya. And those standards help us in a way to protect the integrity of libraries in academic institutions, especially in the universities. For they would even go ahead and give them the guidelines under which they should operate, propose for them the standards, and then remind them those are the basics. You can even exceed those. And the beauty of that is if you don't meet those standards as an institution, you cannot be allowed to run university degree programs in Kenya. So that one has given libraries a central place in the academic component in this country.
Yeah. And even with COVID-19, I know it affected quite a number of institutions, but I think also the test for the libraries was at what point are you going to be physical and at what point are you going to be digital? I think the power of the digital library came to play during that period. And what did you do as a library association in making sure that people still had access to resources beyond tertiary education, but mostly also the primary and the secondary schools, because we were forced to go digital. So especially in the rural areas, what is it that the Kenya Library Association was able to do to mitigate some of those challenges?
Thank you. Usually some of these things come from the top leadership. So as a leader, the onset, I published a paper, which was the reflection of information professionals in terms of the role of libraries and librarians in mitigating COVID-19.
Oh,
and
okay.
I'm pleased to inform you that that paper, as of 2021, was voted by WIDE, the publisher WIDE,
yes,
as the top paper of the year,
right,
best globally, and it is currently being used by Indiana University and the Duke University as part of their required reading in terms of their SEED reading lists. And
fantastic.
The WHO also indexed it as one of the key reference tools to be used during COVID. So then aside that, as an association, because I do remember I was a keynote speaker for the Korea International Conference, where I was discussing with them about mitigating circumstances that people could operate upon. But what we did very fast was to provide leadership guidance to ODL, that is the issues to do with e-learning, in terms of moving ahead and coming up with a set of electronic resources, which we worked with our partner institution, KLISC, the Kenya Library Information Services Consortium,
right,
so that we were able to tap upon the institutions to subscribe to KLISC. And then as a consortium, we purchased predominantly electronic databases and electronic journals. That way, we were able to assure our institutions as they were migrating from now print to electronic to continue now having lessons moving on electronically.
Right.
Our preeminence was through providing a range of electronic resources through KLISC as a partner. And for the institutions that could be able to move a step further, we were guiding them how to develop libguides using seminars to do that, so that they could not only come up with the resources, but they could curate them pertinent to the subject matters that universities are teaching to make it easy for lecturers and students to navigate in that world, in that sea of information. That is what we were doing, but probably we could have done more in terms of media campaign, even television talks, in terms of what we were doing as a university. But as I said before, COVID disrupted everything.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
To so many people in the country.
Yeah. But I think despite that challenge, you were able to still engage the community and make sure that the community had resources the community had resources to use for either their research or for their studies. And that is the most important thing, because as I say, COVID-19 really destabilized quite a number of people, and everybody had to be ingenious or innovative in coming up with ways to make sure that you're still rolling with the punches, for lack of better words. And
Exactly.
congratulations. Yeah. Yeah. And
So that's just one
congratulations on that paper.
But I must also mention other librarians also playing significant roles.
Yeah.
I mean, the academic community, especially trying to mobilize the institutions to pay for subscription to KLISC, so that in turn, because remember, branches were heavily, heavily affected by COVID. Of course, it was an issue of demonstrating to them the value of electronic resources, because with a good range of electronic resources, there's no way you can migrate from print or face-to-face courses to online courses, or sometimes what we call blended learning, where you meet with students sometimes online and sometimes physically.
Okay. All right then. And once again, congratulations on that published paper based on the work you're doing. That is amazing work you are doing. So as the Standing Conference of Eastern Central South and Southern African Library and Information Associations 2024 approaches, so also known as KESCAL, what is the role as a regional forum for African library and information associations and its impact on scholarly communication in the region?
Thank you. So, as you are aware, STEXA is a Pan-African movement bringing
Yes.
together participants from a majority countries in Africa. And also, STEXA is coming at a time when this year we don't have IFRA for the reasons which are too obvious. So then we use this as a forum to advocate for enhancement of information resources and services in Africa or in
Right.
the RMIT region. Now, our role as the host is to make sure we have a vibrant state-of-the-art conference that will be memorable for the years to come, and also to make sure the theme resonates well to the challenges that we get in the region. And of course, you must be aware about that we are having a theme that is on reimagining information products and services for the digital era. Why reimagine? It's because we don't want status quo to remain. We don't
Right.
want the way we were running our library services 20 years ago to be the same, especially during the digital era. So how do we reimagine and run those services in a different way so that we may not lag behind as the other global parts of the world takes or embraces digital transformation? So that's being our theme. We have got sub-themes which resonate well with us as librarians, where we are looking at the emerging roles of library and information services scholars. Remember, towards the beginning of this talk, we talked about bibliometrics,
Yes.
cytometrics, but we also have now librarians as scholars where they are also publishing papers. And then that calls for librarians as leaders in systematic reviews, scoping reviews. And globally, another big movement that is yet to be felt in this part of the world, we call it evidence-based practice.
Yes.
How do we help our stakeholders, including parliamentarians, to embrace evidence-based decision-making so that whatever decisions they make is driven by scientific evidence? Then, after that, we are looking at products and innovative information ethics and practices in the libraries arena. For me, information ethics is very important because it's not just an issue of providing information or passing exams, but being ethical in what we do. For instance, we all know the challenges associated with generative artificial intelligence, and of course, it also has some positive contribution.
Right.
There is a notion that sometimes, especially when you go to the universities and they are having what we call academic essays, some would go to artificial intelligence at generative AI and get essays generated by AI. How then do we use anti-plagiarism tools such as Turnitin and other tools to detect malpractice? And where there is malpractice, because we don't know, we are not sure where AI is heading to, how then do we advise our institutions so that they can also make changes to our ways of examining and engaging our students? For example, if a student submits coursework or they say 25,000 words, there's nothing wrong with having semi-viva where we call them for 5 minutes for them to take us through their work. And of course, someone who has authentically researched will be able to take you through their work, but one who has relied on artificial intelligence would struggle. So there might be alternative ways of examining students and gauging performance. And that's how then some of these themes will be captured during our conference. Of course, education research training will be discussed because we want to examine what are the current curriculums for the library schools, what are the changing needs for those curriculums, and what do we need to embrace so that we may make those changes. And also remembering records and information management, and not forgetting the role of libraries and librarians in SDGs, because there is nothing as important as aligning our research to sustainable development goals,
Right.
for it's important to have societal contribution or impact of the research emanating from our institutions. And then globally recognized measures of measuring such impact is actually SDGs. So it is an exciting time. And the theme and the sub themes resonate well with the work that we are doing as librarians, especially in the low middle income countries. Thank you.
Okay. Lastly, as a passionate advocate for libraries and knowledge dissemination, would love to hear about the most recent book you've read and what you'd recommend to our listeners and what's on your reading list these days.
So I tend to read widely, but I'm usually at the moment so much in management information systems. So there is a broad book on management information systems, and I'll tell you the reason. It
Okay.
is written Rudon and Rudon. It talks of management information systems in the digital era, and that reason is well because, as you've realized from my research, I'm more so inclined towards how I can use the power of information technology or ICTs to combine it with management of knowledge and traditional libraries so that then I'm able to get the best out of the developing world. So that's the book that I'm currently reading, Management in Information Systems. But I must also confess to you, although it is quite early to let you know, I'm also in the middle of writing a book.
Okay.
And my book is going to combine how we can use the power of information communication technologies and libraries
Okay.
to play some positive role in alleviating poverty. So I'm yet to come up with a title, but it is in early drafts. And it was driven by my 5 years or so PhD in ICTs, information retrieval, dissemination, capturing. And I saw there was a gap in terms of using some of best information products to fight poverty in this part of the world or to enhance development. So I'm reading Management Information Systems, but myself also I'm in the middle of writing a book.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Professor Peter Gatite. This has been an amazing interview. I love your passion about librarianship and knowledge management. And thanks for taking us through, the evolution of the library to where it is right now. Actually, the librarian to who they are right now and the impact they are making in our academic communities. We look forward to meeting you at SCETSCAL, and we are truly excited that Kenya is hosting SCETSCAL this year. And thank you so much for joining us in our show.
You are most welcome, and it's a pleasure always discussing these kind of topics with partners like yourself. Thank you and have a good day.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of Mazungumzo Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on all our channels for more updates and for candid stories by researchers, policymakers, higher education leaders, and innovators on their journeys. See you in our next episode.